I worked in a sports shop, and one of the customers of this sports shop was a local sportsman. He was an athlete. He also was an Olympian, and he used to come in, used to talk to me, and over a period of time, encouraged me to go down to the local track and sports centre, and basically, I became part of his athletic squad. On a training night afterwards, we'd all basically sit on these row of chairs in the treatment room, and we'd, take it in turns to go onto the treatment table. But you knew that if you were the last person, you would be in there on your own. And that's when he started touching me. In the police statement I made 20 years ago, which was 20 years after the event, I made it clear that I didn't like what he was doing, but I don't know. I wasn't able to say no. I didn't recognise. It wasn't until I was in well into my 20s, late 20s even, that I started to really recognise that what he did was abuse. It's really hard to explain to somebody when you say what he did, which is clearly wrong, that you didn't see it. For me, certainly, I think it's looking back, it's the way I was totally controlled and manipulated. That's the damage, more than anything physically that he ever did.
I understand that this is something you've obviously personally had to deal with for decades. You've been fighting it much more acutely over the last few years with discussions with the police and the CPS. But when you saw in the news all of this start to snowball effect, this idea that hundreds of young footballers were coming forward, this idea that football was launching an investigation, it was a problem in football. How did that make you feel, and what did you think about when every time you switched on the news or you listened to the radio, you'd hear about this, which is something that's very similar to what happened to you?
My first reaction was, it's not only football. It will be happening and has happened across all sports. And obviously, those people who run those sports, their governing bodies, they have a responsibility. But also, I want to make it very clear that these people are very clever. The athletic coach I talk about, he was a well-known sports personality in the city in which I grew up. In the same treatment room that he abused me in, I have seen two first division football players in that very same room.
Is there a small part of you that's worried that this is going to become pigeonholed as a football problem and not an abuse problem, not on a problem about predators getting access to children?
Well, absolutely, I worry about that. And, in the past, we've seen it as an institutionalized problem, in terms of children's homes. Now you worry that it's all going to be football. But it happens wherever there are young people, wherever they're vulnerable, wherever there are opportunities. Because of this problem at the time, it comes under the Sexual Offences Act of 1956, and the issue of consent or not consenting is so hard to prove that the CPS, their first decision was not to proceed. They couldn't proceed.
As far as the CPS are concerned, had this man done what he did to you back in the 70s in the last few years, they would proceed and they would take him to court. Whereas because you were a victim 40 odd years ago, you can't get justice now.
Well, yes, basically there was a new Sexual Offences Act of 2003. And so if this had happened post 2003, at the age of 16, with somebody in a position of responsibility over you, then you can't consent to this sort of thing, and it is illegal. My argument with the CBS is, would any consensual act have such devastating lifelong impact that it's had on me, that's clear in all the medical evidence that they've got? You just wouldn't get that from a consensual act. There you have it, but it's just a constant fight. I'm not after vengeance. I want him to have to, in a court of law, have to account for what he did to me, for me to tell my story. That is what I want.